Welcome to Highway Christian Community's Sermon Download. Our aim is to reveal from Scripture just how good God really is. Find more of our sermons and other links, as well as contact details, at our website, www.highway.org.za. That's highway.org.za. May this sermon bless you. Enjoy.
Are you doing good? You know, I'm having a jaw, hey? And you know, when it comes to the prophetic, he just, you know, I hear words and then things start jumping. If you want to be blessed in the prophetic, you need to open yourself up. Because the prophetic is going to challenge your mind to reveal what's in your heart. And so many times when people are challenged, they get an attitude with the prophet. The prophet's only the messenger. Eh? Come on. Don't shoot the messenger. Thank you, Steve. Oh! And we just got to relax with this. You know, we've got so many religious things that we need to kill. And we see it around. You know, when I go into Africa, and we go and do these things. You see people trying to do all sorts of religious things, like doom, you know, and all sorts of selling water and all this. Steve, I know how to make some money here, but yes, these guys. But anyway, you hear what I'm saying. We need to bury those things, and we need to find the reality of Jesus Christ in our daily walk, every moment of the day. He's with us. He's in us. Somebody asked me, are you ready? I said, I'm always ready. From the time my daughter was raised from the dead, I've had revival in my heart. The level changes a wee bit, but there's revival in my heart, guys. And there's revival in your heart. Come on. We've heard about, you know, what I like about what we're doing here in this church, we come every Sunday and the table is set. We can go and break bread and we can remember. Last week, we celebrated what our King did for us. Woo! That's powerful. And this weekend is a special weekend. There's an opening up in the heavens, I believe, and we're going to see the result of all the prayers and all the things that have happened this weekend. This is only the start. It is coming, guys. I've seen prophetic words from 40 years ago speaking of the revival. I believe with all my heart it is here. It is in my heart, it's in your heart, and we need to go for it like never before. And not stand by and not look at all the negatives, which we can all the time. You know, when we prayed here together as well, I said to people yesterday, it's not about judging Zuma or judging this one or this guy's into this sin and that sin. Come on, be honest. Now's a prophetic challenge. Be honest. If you look very carefully in that little heart of yours, you'll find some chachase. I'm in the right place here today. Yeah, come on. And we got to deal. We can't point fingers at anybody. And you know, our commission is to love, love, love. And Jesus reminded us of that last week. And I want to pull from last week. I want us to pull the power, the anointing, and everything that came from last week and to remind ourselves of the importance of it. And I believe there's a couple of principles. And if you take the principles and apply them in your life and you apply them in your daily life, there you will reap the prophetic reward. Who wants a reward? Amen. And even under the word now, those people that came through and there was prayer for healing and prayer for all these things, you just got to trust the Lord and just see this happening. And I believe that something happened here this morning in many lives. And we haven't got time to go through all the testimonies, otherwise we'd be here all day. And then Stephen will shoot me. Anyway. I've got a, I don't know how I'm going to do this, guys, but on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I'm off to Livingston at Thursday. And guess who's going with me? No, Stephen Lungu. Huh? So I've got him for a couple of days, and I'm going to twist his arm to come back. Amen? Will you twist, in the spirit, will you twist his arm with me? And we want to get Stephen crying again. I've never seen this. We really need to get Stephen crying again. But you know, I'm But serious, you know, there's such a connection there. We're going to be ministering into Livingston, to the leaders. I want to actually go and see what the result has been of the last 2 years of us going there. And you know, it's a prophetic word that takes us out. It's God, what He has done, that urges us and urges us and urges us to go and do those things. Amen. Right. One of the things that we need to listen to, prophetically need to listen to, is the word that comes through the pulpit here every Sunday. Steve ministered very, very effectively on courage. And this morning I want to give him honor in the step that he has taken, the courageous step he has taken. He and his wife and the family. Janet is his wife. Okay? And the family. And they've taken this amazing step to do this. And we need to honor that. Amen? Guys? Come on. Yeah. Yes, thank you. No, I'm in Africa. Thanks. Guys, we need to just keep this, all these things. We don't let these things bog us down. We push through, and we push through, and we push through. And I believe I've got a word here for this morning that's going to help you to push through. If you want to push through, who wants to push through? A couple more hands would do quite handy there. Right. Now I've got to suss out how to do this again. Wrong one. Still wrong one. A different calling. I'm going to be speaking out of Ephesians, and I'm going to be speaking about spiritual warfare. And I want you to see it as a calling. God has called you to be a warrior. Not a warrior over your finances every month, but a warrior with armor, with swords, with everything you need to fight this war against the evil one. And He has called us and He's given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. And this is why I came and said, you know, hey man, we got this table here. Every week we're reminded what Christ has done for us. We're reminded what He did on Calvary, that He died for us and spilled His blood for us. And He went there because the Father asked Him to. And He went with joy. Yes, he cried. He said, hey Lord, if it's all possible, take this away from me. Come on, we've all been there sometime, haven't we? You know, please take this away from me. I can't take this thing. It's going to be too much. The pain, the anger. But He saw it. And you know what drove Him on? As I always say, is the love. The love for you and I. He saw you and I the other side of the cross. And He saw you and I picking up the victory that He has won for us. Because He knew He was going to kill the devil with all that the devil has against the purposes of God in this world. And we can enforce that defeat, and God has given us everything to enforce that defeat. And as we carry on in this church, we need to be a people who know who they are in Christ. A mighty warrior. A mighty warrior. And if you say, who me? Yes, you. Every one of you, with every problem you've got, every situation you've got, we need to trust the Lord. We need to believe in the Lord. You know, we were talking about finance, and I just want to say something there as a testimony. Last week, I've got lots I can talk about finance, but I just want to take one thing. Last week, somebody came up to me and gave me R1,000. R1,000 is a lot of money, huh? And you know, my attitude with this sort of thing is the attitude in receiving anything from God. Our attitude, I believe, has got to be right. I'm not an angel. Ask Anne, she will tell you. Ask Stephen, he knows a couple of things too. But I'm not an angel. But the first reaction, Lord, what is it that you're giving me this money for? I have no need. I didn't have a need then. But I didn't know what was going to happen in the week. And something happened. I had to get things sorted out. And I was able to bless somebody else. And I was able to put some into the offering. Now, I'm saying this. Now, you say, well, what's that got to do with what you're speaking about? Well, that spiritual warfare is in every area of our lives. The prophetic moves in every single area of our lives, because prophetically what we are doing, we are trusting the Lord, we're having the right attitude in all that we do, and we're saying, Lord, you are the answer. I cannot do it in myself. Come, Lord, help me. And you know, I've said it often, and you've heard me say it so often, Anne and I, when we come and pray and we do our devotions together, we come and say, Lord, we cannot do anything without you. We are like little children in your hands. And we are so reliant on your divine wisdom for every little decision we make. And you know, I've made wrong decisions before in those sort of things. Lots of wrong decisions. And I'm not here to talk about the wrong. I'm here to talk about the right. And the right thing is to go to the cross. The right thing is to go and see what Jesus did. Now, I'm going to be in Ephesians. I love the book of Ephesians. When I was in Germany last year, I told you guys what happened. Jesus came, visited me in a dream and said, 4 times, I'm coming soon. And every time he said it, the emphases got stronger and stronger and stronger. When I woke up on Monday, the Holy Spirit said, as clear as a bell, as clear as a ding, 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 ding out there, that I need to read Ephesians. So with that thought behind what I'm going to share here, I'm sharing this with you because I believe that if you take hold of some of the, you've heard about spiritual warfare, but now you've got to do it. You know, Christianity is not sitting on our blessed assurance. We've heard that before. You've got to take a courageous stance. Now, Steve mentioned and spoke on being courageous. And it was such a lovely teaching that, Steve. And we need to be courageous right now and pick up what God wants us to do. And check our hearts. Now we say, if you speak grace, grace gives you the place where you can now come and rest in Him, where you can relax in Him and allow Him to take you into these things. When you kill the bad attitude, when you kill these desires that are not from God, and when you're in that position of peace and rest, He will speak to you. Now, I'm going to say this again. I've said it to a couple of people. In the last 2 years, 1.3 million rand came in for the mission in Livingston. And I'm saying to the Lord, if you can do it there, you can do it here as well. Come on. Huh? And we just got to find His word. This is what I'm trying to say. When He spoke His word, we walked on the word. Not a cent. I'm saying this now. Not a cent of that came to Anne and I. The Lord had taken care of all our things. Anne is an amazing steward of God's finances. And God put her there because if you give me money, I spend it. Or sow it. Now, let's sow it. Woo! Woo! But you know, yeah, look at that. You shouldn't be nodding there. You hear where we're going? And you know, this Christian life is actually a jewel. But we've got to make some serious decisions in our lives. Now, this morning, you know, when I prayed, I just sensed the Father's love and the Father's mercy and concern for each one of you. And that He wants to really bless you. And His whole desire, His whole mission of sending Jesus to die for us was because He loved you so much. And I see, yesterday when we were worshiping here too, that smiley face, that happy face of Father. Wow, look at my people. They've come together. They're standing together. Boy, guys, angels, come on, come on, come on. Pour out. Pour out. Pour out. You know, we talk about an open heaven. Pour out into every heart. I'm telling you now, prophetically, the atmosphere over South Africa has changed. Turn off the news and turn on the Holy Spirit. Amen? And James tells us that. James says something very clearly. You can read that yourself in James, where he talks about godly wisdom and worldly wisdom. Now, I've said that before from the pulpit, that godly wisdom is what you need. But if you take on worldly wisdom, he doesn't mix words. He says it's demonic, guys. And if you're doing your finances or doing your job and you're doing all these things, using worldly wisdom. He was a pastor, James was. The half-brother of Jesus. He'd been with Jesus. He heard what had to happen. He says, that's demonic. So what do we do? Yes, we have all this knowledge. We have everything. We need to now energize that which God has placed in our hearts and energize it for the kingdom. It's not a negative thing. We go, oh, gee whiz. You know, there's common sense. There's a few other senses up there. There's some nonsense as well. But you hear what I'm saying? We need to come and we need to get to the reality of what we should be speaking about. Use what God has given us. From the time you were born again, there is a change. Ga-dang! Hey? A total change. And Ephesians says something very... I'll go and speak. We'll speak. Look at the phew. No, I'm just going to read another one before. What I'm doing here, I want to just take you on a little journey through Ephesians. And I want you to, when I read now to you, to see what Jesus has done. Think of Calvary, think of last week. Think of what Jesus has done for us and what he's done for you personally. And start drawing this power and anointing from the cross. Start seeing his word and start applying the word. Start responding to the word. Not Bill Brain, iCorner, or anybody else, but to the word of God. In Ephesians 1, verse 19, he says, and what is the immeasurable greatness? You can't even measure the greatness of God. Okay? Of his power towards us who believe. Who believes? Who believes? Come on. Yo, wave at me. Yes, we believe. Wow. And his great, we believe, according to the working of his great might, woo, that he worked in Christ. How we saw it last week, we celebrated that. When he raised him from the dead, seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things, all means, thank you, good class, all things under his feet and gave him head over all things. All means, all, hallelujah, to the church, nochal. Huh? To the church. Come on. He's given us all things. And there's sometimes that there, a guy's going through the whole week. You come to church, a little bit of an injection, you go through the week. The Lord's not calling you to do that. The Lord is calling you to a relationship with him that is far beyond sometimes our own understanding. That he's there ready, that he's come by faith to dwell in your heart and to give you all that you need pertaining to life and godliness. And Steve admonishes us in the beginning of the year to have courage. And you need courage right now. When we look at this country, we look at the world, we need courage. I believe Jesus is coming back soon, but there are a lot of things that might need to happen first. Wouldn't it be nice if, let me not go to the rapture theory, then otherwise I'll be here all day. But you know, if you believe the rapture, cool. But imagine he comes and takes us all, whew, what a party, what a jaw. Eh? There's a big, you know, that big table, and you'd be at the head of the table, but yeah, no wine though, eh? Okay. And you know, when he gives us a scripture like that, and he starts in Ephesians, they say, wow, Lord, this is so cool. Isn't that a cool bit of scripture that I've read? Doesn't that something in that scripture touch you, give you a desire for something more in this power that he speaks about? You know, he speaks about that in Romans, doesn't he? Let's just go there quickly. If the Spirit of him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit which indwells in you. Guys, we need to start believing these things. We need to have the courage to stand up and believe in this awesome God that's come to dwell in my heart. And we need to start walking in that courage and that anointing prophetically. Does that make sense? You with me? I'm so glad. Let's go to the next one here. I'm going to read Ephesians 10, 6:10. One of the things he says, let me read Ephesians. Let me read that first. And I've got another. Whew, time, it flies when you're having fun, eh? He says here about the armor of God in verse 10, 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand with it. And when he says take up and when he says put on, the Greek word talks about being clothed. So if you put a great coat on, that's how you got to clothe yourself. Now, you clothed yourself when you came to Calvary. You clothed yourself when you gave your heart to the Lord. You said, I'm going to put on Christ. And it's the same thing. We dress ourselves in Christ. Now, so many Christians walk around as if they haven't dressed up in anything. Never mind salvation. You know, we spoke to somebody the other day about their salvation. I thought, oh, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. So, whoo, you're missing it. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you receive everything we're speaking about here. So what he does in chapter 1, he introduces all this lovely power, all this that we have got in Christ. And then we go to his last words, what he says there, we've got to dress up in the armor. So on one end, we have all that we need. On the other hand, we have the vision of what we should do. And let's dress ourselves up in that armor. Because without that armor, without a constant thinking about that armor, and I know, Steve, down the line, it depends how the Holy Spirit leads, but things like the breastplate of righteousness, we are the righteousness of God in Christ. So I walk in that all the time. Not my righteousness, but all the righteousness he has done. He is my righteousness, and I've received him, and now I can make the right choices. Because if I'm righteous, then I make right choices. If I have a grace, if I believe in the grace, grace makes the way for me to make those right choices and to enter into what he's got for us. You okay there? Oh, cool. And then, let me go to all this. This fits in the prayer 3:6, that you may be strengthened with power through his Spirit. If you go to 3:16, you will see that. Strengthened with power, through his Spirit. We speak about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells us. The Holy Spirit's presence is here this morning. He's ministering to us. He's touching our hearts. Depending where you're at, what's been siphoned through you now, his Spirit is there and showing you things right now. Okay? Lay hold of the divine resources. When you look at the armor of God, and I haven't got time to go into all that, you see the divine resources that are there for you. Strength comes from an external source, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where our strength comes from, guys. Nowhere else. And I challenge you, if you look for strength anywhere else, you will not find it. You only find it in Christ Jesus. Okay? And we come to the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ, in the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. And that's where it happens. I'm sure you agree with me on that. Yes, thank you. Could do the agreement there. We come under Christ's loving rule and friendship and headship, sorry. That relationship. We build this love, love, love. That's why whoever comes through those doors into this congregation, into the life groups or in it, we're not there to judge them. When there's a come in, here is your place. This is where you'll get sorted out. This is where you'll get healed. We're not here to judge you. We are people that have sorted it out. Now come, let's love you. Let's help people. Let's get out and do it. And I haven't got time to go into all that. No longer under the control of the prince of the power of air. Guys, we are not under his control. You're only under his control if you give him that control. And make a decision deep in your hearts this morning that you will not give him any control. Because Jesus Christ has killed that. And when we receive what he has done for us on the cross, he has no control over us. Sure, the circumstances come and everything. I was joking with everybody yesterday. Every time Anne and I do our devotions, now this morning it happened again. We got, and we were actually reading Ephesians 1. I said to Anne, just read it out the Message Bible so I can get it into my heart and everything. And as she started reading, the little dog down the way went, and if you know me and you know how I love little dogs doing that, and I'm sure there's a demon that's assigned to that area. And as soon as we look, and we were talking, just as we started on the power, we heard this, woof, 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 woof. So he saw us and he went, shoo, and the dog started. So we just laughed. Huh? Didn't we have a message here about laughing when all things, funny things happen? No, we just laugh. I mean, gee whiz, come on. How's that going to interfere with what we're going to do? But you hear where I'm going on that. We don't let those things pull us down. We've got to push through, and that's a big thing for me to say. Jesus supplies all we need in our spiritual warfare. You need nothing more. His grace has given you so much. Relax and rest in that grace. I love the picture of resting in those awesome arms, leaning upon those awesome arms, leaning on him and crying around his shoulder and all that sort of thing. And you know, I have a permanent vision or a permanent feeling that his hand is always on me. So this shoulder. You know, like a guy stands next to you. That's how, even now, use your imagination. Come on, guy, I said that yesterday. Enter into the pictures that you see here. Enter into the propheticness of what God is saying here. Take hold of this armor. See yourself dressed in this mighty armor. And you know, it's like the sword of the Spirit. One of the stories I like is old David's generals. Remember the story of David's generals? One Oki slaughtered 800 guys. Hey, 800 guys with a sword. He was so into the battle that the sword actually welded to his hand. Isn't there a message for us there right now about having the word melted into our very lives? And as we do battle for the kingdom, that's how we got to do battle. No standing back, pushing in. A call to be strong. Different call. A call to be strong. Strong. Strong, 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 strong. Say, I'm strong. Are you really? Thank you. And the Lord appreciates that. We see it in the Old Testament, Joshua, who was urged to be strong and of good courage. And I highlighted courage again because of what has been said over the last couple of months about courage and having courage to enter in. We don't stand back, but look how this country, let's use what happened yesterday. The courage of the Christians to make a stand. And I'm disgusted with our news departments and all departments that there wasn't more on the screen for us to see. The most positive thing that has happened in South Africa in the last number of years or whatever the case may be, and I'm not going into that, but that's just my little feeling. In a critical situation, David too found strength in the Lord. Okay? We only find strength in him. You know, and as we're trusting him for those things, the source of this power is the Lord. In Ephesians, this refers to the Lord Jesus Christ and his mighty power, which I've read to you. And we mustn't hold back on that. God's all-powerful strength, which raised Christ dead from the dead and exalted him. We've read that scripture. The new self. We talk about the new self. How often in church? Putting on divine armor. We are properly equipped against the devil's attacks. Putting on, dressing yourself. But don't see it as a one-off dressing. When you come and you have your devotions every day, see what Christ has done and see him have dressed you already. That robe of righteousness, whatever you want to call it, he's dressed you. You have all these things. And he's given you a groot sword. That's a big sword translated from Afrikaans. Okay? And he's given you a heavy sword. He's given you a sword that can sort out every situation that you've got. And you just need to relax, and he will show you that, and then you can fight with that sword and do the war that you need to do. The devil's attacks, you see, the devil's defeated. Now, we talk about devil's attacks, and I said earlier on, the devil can only attack you as much as you let him. Serious? Serious? Think of that. Think through that. But if you pick up the sword and you're trusting in the Lord, not in any spooky spiritual thing, it drives me up the wall with some people when they come, oh, spiritual warfare, oh, they're going to, you know, do all these things. No, 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 no. If I see the grace message, we can relax and do the warfare now. Doesn't he say in the Old Testament, be still? Doesn't he say in the New Testament, be still? Okay? Be still and see the salvation of the Lord. Be still and see him fight on your behalf. Be still. Okay? Put on that new self. We've put on the new self. This exhortation recalls an early instruction, putting on the new self. So where he talks about putting on the new self and putting on the armor, they are the same words, guys. And we need to continually remind ourselves. When you go out here today, I challenge you, look at that again. And can I just have some wura? Thank you. How are we doing, Thomas? Thank you so much. Created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Essentially, to put on the new self is the same as putting on the armor of God. I said that. Putting on the goal is, let's look at the goal and we'll finish with that. The goal is to stand against the schemes of the devil. Now, the devil was defeated at Calvary, but his schemes are still out there. I think you would agree with me. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to see that one. You know, and we got to stand, you know, when we come and pray, not only pray for the government, but just think of the roads. Think of the carnage on our roads right now. Think of the spirit that is able to get in there and destroy people. All those kiddies that were burnt alive, yes, terrible, terrible, the day before yesterday. But you see, we as a church need to stand up and say, this far and no further. And we need to do war against situations like that. We need to pick it up. But I mean, imagine the church corporately saying, no ways. I just heard one comment on the radio yesterday about all the cars going in. There was not one little problem. Except somebody, you know, steering to see where everything's happened. It was just a little bump. But that was his fault. He wasn't doing spiritual warfare. He was trying to... Four times the language is used of standing, standing firm, withstanding. Standing, standing firm, and withstanding. The first of standing involves resisting or holding our position against the devil's insidious wiles. Verse 40, so that we do not surrender to his evil opposition, but prevail against it. And that is my challenge to you this morning. I believe it's a prophetic challenge for you to take hold of this and to stand. And when you have stood. And when you have stood, to stand. And never stop stooting and standing or whatever you got to do. But do it. And it doesn't matter what you're going through. Every situation here, God has an answer for it. You came up for prayer this morning for healing. God has an answer. You trusted him this morning. Everybody in this country believed that God has an answer, and they went and they did their thing. Nita, hey man, where are you, my girl? Woo! You're so cool. I couldn't have done that. Yeah, you know. A helicopter. Did you have a helicopter? No, okay, but it didn't sound like it. And, yeah. So guys, there it is. Let us pray, and let us really ask the Lord. Can you stand? Mind standing, you can stretch your legs for 5 minutes while we stand and while we pray.
And the body there, teaching gifts, there's gifts of evangelism, there's a prophetic gift. And this morning's word was to remind you that there's something that you need to stand against. You know what that is. And Bill's going to pray in a moment. He's going to pray a prayer of faith. What is that thing you know you need to stand against? Fully clothed, but stand against.
Yeah.
What is that thing that you know is coming against you and opposing you, or that thing that's distracting you? What is that thing you've got to stand against this morning? And in this prayer, let's say, this morning we are making a stand. And we are empowered by that source. I might correct Bill there and say it's not an external source. Christ in us is the hope of glory. Yeah. It's the internal source.
That's but Old Testament.
But Jesus is inside of you. And he is going to be the force against whatever's coming against you. So right now, just as we close our eyes and close up with this prayer. Bill, will you pray with us?
Can I ask you, all of you, just to relax now. Just relax. The presence is here. We don't have to work up anything. And as you start relaxing, just lift up your hands to the King of Kings. And now we pray, Father, I thank you for every single person that you see here right now. You love them with such a love and a compassion that I can't understand, neither can they. But Lord, we come to you in faith this morning, believing that you're going to do a mighty work. I pray right now, Lord, that from heaven you will release, from the depths of their heart, you will release a word into every heart here that's going to help every heart here deal with the situation they are in right now, whether it be financial, healing, oppression, depression, expression, whatever the case may be, Lord, I just pray that your word will come upon them right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bill.